started this evening. If you look at your handbook and turn to page 87. We don't really do this one a whole lot, because at some point along the line, it kind of got to where I guess it was considered a child song. Maybe that's because of some of the words in it. And yet, you know, the Bible teaches us that if we don't come as a little child, we'll in no wise enter in. You know, so we're saved. We're little children. That's what John called us too. And that's what we read out the other day. John said, little children. Amen. So page 87. Gives us a reason to have assurance, but he really helped us in the hospital, and helped us get out of the hospital. Pastor knows what I'm talking about, but we had, it was just one that was kind of giving us a little bit of a hard time to go home the day that we wanted to go home. But, you know, Lord God's out of there, and we got to the house, and we did have some wonderful nurses that really took good care of us. And I will say this, you know, that nurse that day, man, she had everything lined up. They got stuff straightened out with that doctor. And it was, so there's checks that they can't do until 24 hours after the baby is born. And, man, that woman was supposed to do them checks. I think she was in there within like 3 or 4 minutes of 24 hours. I mean, they were, you know, getting us through there. So anyway, I appreciate the Lord working that out for us. And just pray for little Ev. He does have a little bit of a jaundice. And he's a sleepy little person. And so he's not eating great, and that's how you get it out. They got to eat, and they got to go to the bathroom. And so she's having a little bit of a hard time keeping him awake enough to get real good feeding. So just pray that the Lord would help out. I know that he will. And I appreciate the Lord helping my mama, too. I don't even know. We were so, because you know, everything going on. Did I tell you mama was in the hospital? Okay, so I told the pastor. While we were in the hospital trying to get out, mama was trying to get in because she'd gone to the heart doctor and she had some fluid on her heart, and he wanted to get her in the hospital to get that fluid off. And they were going to try to shock her heart to try to deal with the atrial fibrillation. I don't know if they ever got to do that or not, but God really did a work in mom because she was real bad, swelled up with all that fluid, and she was getting over it so quick. Well, I mean, at first she wasn't doing real good, and then, you know, all of a sudden she started shedding that fluid in it. Well, she talked to a surprised them at the hospital. And next thing I know, Dad texted us yesterday and said, Mama's home and she's doing good. We weren't even looking for her to be home, you know, for another few days or so. God really blessed in that situation too, so I don't know what they were or were not able to do. But when I saw her Friday, I mean, she was out of breath just trying to talk. And, man, she sounded so good on the phone when I talked to her, even on, maybe Sunday night after church that I called her. She was sounding so good. So I really appreciate the Lord working in that and helping there. And, anyway, who's got a request about lifting prayer? Prayer request about lifting hand? No. I can't. I'm still a little scattered, John, but I've got more sleep than she has. But y'all know how it is. Anyway. The Lord sees all these. Who's got a request you want to make mention of this evening?
I'm thinking of the Lord for you, that she has had, she has missed a lot, like, changed the last word because of the word.
Oh.
And so she has a lot of
okay.
Pray for
you know, been kind of out of the loop. Has Lucy already had her consultation scheduled for her hip surgery? Is that still yet to be?
I haven't heard of that.
Is the consultation, okay.
She has, yeah, she had, I haven't heard of surgery scheduled, that's good. Jeannie missed shifting earlier, said that, what she said when he got home.
That her, she funded, prayed for her, and that her Sarah was around her, and she had shared the grant with her, she was pulling my shirt, and she spread the grant, and they're down to see the football. She has a special request. You're in her rose, March, and today for a test hospital.
Is there, any news on Tim's boyfriend's head, or is he kind of away, or?
I don't know, I think they're gonna start off kind of there, and I don't think he's, I think he's responding, I don't think he's gonna speak, or things like that.
Oh.
I think it's just gonna be a long road, and I don't know how long he's gonna come back.
Okay. Did they ever have an understanding of what happened in the beginning?
Well, he had a motorcycle accident.
Oh, I wonder if I didn't give that part.
Oh, that's okay, so he had a motorcycle accident, traumatic brain injury, and lots of other.
Okay. Can you remember this?
Well, remember, I'm pretty sure, and Holly and Brandon, they're bidding on the house. Seller accepted the house, the bid, now they had that inspection, stuff like that, and it's, Ben McCurry's house. About his house. Or near with Brandon.
Well, I reckon it's been prayed over.
Remember them, thank you, look out for them on that, man.
Amen. Amen. Of course, remember our nation also, that the Lord would move mightily in our people. Just pray that God would give us repentance, that He would give us revival. Because as we've said, I've said, preachers, Tony said, all these other preachers have said, because what the Word of God says is there's no political solution to what is wrong with America. It is a spiritual problem. It will only have a spiritual solution. And then really, what happens with all that other stuff? If God gets us worked out spiritually, the rest of that stuff just comes in line. Really, all of that we see in the White House is a result of what's going on in our nation spiritually. It's not the other way around. A lot of people get the cart before the horse. And, you know, I see stuff, you know, like, and I know you've probably seen it down there, 10 and 18, big old banner somebody put up says, you know, vote for Trump, save America. And I'm like, well, I'm a supporter of Donald Trump. I mean, I don't care who I tell. I can guarantee you ain't gonna vote for no Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
You know, but you can't save America. You haven't been able to save America. That's silly. I don't care if God raised George Washington from this. Save America. Right? I mean, it's not about a man. It's going to take God to save America. So we've got these people that are backwards. You've got some of them that are trying to put Jesus in the White House like he's running. And then you've got people that think some man is going to save America. I don't understand. These people are running all the way past the Bible in each direction, running over the truth to get to a different error. I mean, I just don't really, you know, the answers are in there. Right? All we've got to do is read the book. You know? Pray for Israel too, especially this, you know, this with Iran. Probably everybody knows, but if you don't know, there's been a lot of threats coming out from Iran that they plan to make a direct attack on Israel, in which we have to understand all of these attacks from Hamas. That is Iran. Hamas is a terrorist wing of the Iranian government. They're behind all that. And then you got Lebanon, that's the backing of Hezbollah. But if Iran openly attacks Israel, I mean, that's, you know, I don't see that not being World War III.
I don't believe God's going to allow much more of this.
I mean, this one thing about it, we definitely, something is happening. And I know God's in control of all of it. That's what the Christian has to keep in mind. It can be scary if we let ourselves think about it, but we've got to know that God's in control of every bit of this. But He wants us to bring it to Him.
Right.
It's just like what preacher Mike Backer said. God's going to do what He wants to do, but He wants us lined up with Him in it.
Right.
You know, He wants His children to be asking him to do those things that are his will to do. That's what the Bible says. If we ask anything in his will, you know, then we'll receive it, right? So it's not about God getting hung up with us. It's about us getting hung up with God. And so, but I know it pleases the Lord when we pray about these things. That's what we need to do, is just take it to him. And, you know, especially as like mine, Preacher Stoney's age, you know, if it ever come down to like a draft, I'm pretty sure our names are still in the hat. I don't remember when you age out of that, but
35.
Okay, so I'm past it. You got to hold your breath. No, I mean, I thought I was older than that. But, you know what I'm saying? But again, God's in control. Anything else before we come pray?
He's talking about praying for Israel. You know, Psalm 122, verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Hey.
They shall prosper and love
it. Yes, amen.
You know, it's a, they bless and it comes with support in Israel.
Amen.
The Bible talks about, you know, that God curse those who curse you, and bless those who bless you.
Amen.
And, you know, the Bible tells that there's prosperity that comes with loving the Lord and loving his people.
Yes.
And praying for it. So, you know, that's something we know that is the Lord's will. If you talk about praying for his will, we know it's his will. Pray for peace in Israel.
Yes.
And, you know, that's what's going to take. I, you know, I did that not long ago here. God's got a purpose and plan for Israel.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to say this, that their prayers ain't getting through.
Right.
Not ones who are practicing Jews.
Right.
Because he has sent his son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the only way a man can be justified.
Amen.
By faith in him.
Yeah.
And so we have a responsibility to understand and know the truth.
Yeah.
And knowing that it is our responsibility to pray for him. That we should pray for them, not only that God give them peace, but that they have peace from God.
Yeah.
God work in their lives, and God wants to save them.
Amen.
And so let's pray for them. Yeah, pray for them. There's a special blessing that comes with it.
Yes, amen. I know a lot of people might try to argue against that, and then say, well, I mean, you know, they're saying they're calling on the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and they're following the Torah and all that. And it's like, well, I get that. But what Jesus said is, if you don't receive me, then you haven't received the Father that sent me.
Yeah.
He said, every man that receives the Father receives me.
Yeah.
So what that tells me is, no matter what they say, if they haven't received Jesus, then they are rejecting the Father that sent him. And it don't... Exactly. So it don't, I mean, it don't, maybe don't feel good to think about it that way, but it don't matter how I feel about it, that's what the Bible says.
You know? Matter of fact,
it's, well,
the Bible says, try them the spirits, whether they are God or not. Every spirit that cometh forth confessing not that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is not of God, is that of the Antichrist.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it is of the spirit of the Antichrist.
And I don't know if you probably have, and I don't mean taking much time. I have just a little bit, but if you dig into a lot of stuff about Judaism as modern Jews see it, I even tried to research what was the meaning behind the Star of David. And you start looking at this stuff and you're like, man, this plum pagan. You know, it ain't from the scripture.
Well, even thinking back to from the time Jesus came to this earth, from the time God sent his son, from anyone who remained practicing Jew, that is the spirit of the Antichrist.
Yeah, yeah.
To reject the Son of God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I mean, that according to the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
And this, well, and what did the guy, I forget who it was, it's part of one of them said, those ones that say they are Jews but are not.
Yeah.
Because the ones that are like, what would you say, the real Jews? Well, I mean, they listen to the scripture, right? You know, like, you know, really. I mean,
yeah.
But anyway, anybody else got something before we come pray? Amen. Amen.
Remember me, I have this
test
in August, and also pray that I'll have a sermon for Christmas play.
Yes. coming back to do this.
Adversity almost every day. Very good. We need that adversity to all the schools. That question, we need to say today, what I want to do for, I want to say, to love the older students and say, adversity almost every day. Adversity things to do every day. I'll be ready to surround me, actually, if it means better, greater than not to do anything. I was grateful enough. This thing is way out of where I think so many things never ended my day. Forgive people, their life, they can fail. I have the spirit to be transformed. Where I say, God, you know, it's all we want to do. God, if you might show us that good success.
It's been the Lord's house tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Ain't it a blessing coming here to have air conditioning?
Yes, sir.
You ever think about things like that?
Yes, sir.
My grandma, you know, when she's telling me the other day about going to service over at Smart's Grove, and she said they had a path down by the river. And, you know, where she grew up was right up the river from her house. You probably know where it was, and I was a preacher. Over it had been off of Warland Chapel Road. But anyway, she said they had a path on the river and they go down there to Smart's Grove. And I said, well, was it hot? She said, yes, and you had to leave early every time you got there. Said you'd be soaked with sweat. And she said, so we had to leave good and early so we could walk slow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know. I mean, you think about that. And the things that people have done just to get to the house of God.
Yeah.
Go in there, you know, probably had old wood floors, didn't have no air conditioning. Worse than that, in the wintertime, they didn't have no heat, you know, they might have a fireplace or something under, you know. But they just want to be in the house of God. We come in, yeah. We got padded church pews. You know, this floor is probably more comfortable than most of the church pews people sit in, you know, our grandparents and such.
Yeah.
And we're just so blessed this day.
Amen.
Take so much for granted.
Yeah.
But I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for what the Lord's done.
Amen.
I thank God for loving us. Amen. Does anybody got a special song I want to sing tonight before we get started?
Thank you.
And luckily, the first person I talked to when I got here, and I said that we're going to be in Romans chapter 8 again. Romans in chapter number 8. And we done preached twice on this, and we got to the end of the chapter, and you're thinking, well, what did we miss? Well, we missed the beginning. We skipped some things, and funny enough, we're still not going to start at the very, very beginning, but I just want to read here verses 14 down through 17. If you remember, we'd started there in verse 18 here a few couple weeks ago, where he said, "For I read." I know y'all remember that word, for those of you who are here. I said, I like how King James Bible's written, where, you know, it's almost written in redneck. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. But let's back up. Let's read verses 14 down through 17. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Thank you, Father, for this word. Thank God that you add your blessing to the reading of it. Through the preaching hour, Lord, we can do nothing without you. I pray that you move upon this service, touch hearts and lives, and help us, God, to glean from your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to preach on this thought tonight, being the children of God, us being the children of God. You say, "Well, preacher, of course we are the children of God." But you know, sometimes I think I forget that. Sometimes I think that we as Christians, I think that we forget that, that we are His children. Matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, he's not just talking about among men. He's talking about brethren as in mankind. And I'm glad to know tonight that Jesus Christ made a way that you and I could be saved from our sins. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I don't have to answer for all of my wickedness. Are you glad tonight that you ain't got to answer for all of your wickedness? I'm glad tonight that I'll never have to feel the flames and torments of hell. I'm glad tonight that not only that, but furthermore, that He is preparing a place for you and I that has not ever even entered into the mind of how wonderful this place will be called heaven. Yeah. We cannot even begin to understand nor describe the beauty that is up there. You say, "Well, we know what it looks like. The streets are gold and the walls are of jasper and the sea and the well, it's like looking into a glass." Understand, that's just the way that's the best John could do to describe it.
Yeah.
But I want to say this, that words could not begin to tell how beautiful this place is. And you say, "Well, why is that?" Because look at what beauty we can see here on this earth that God has intended from the very beginning, from the foundation of it. He knew that one day it'd be consumed with fire.
Yeah.
He said, "This is just temporary."
Yeah.
He said, "This is a place of corruption. This is a place that is corruptible." The Bible says that I preached on this here the other week, how that the Bible says that the creation itself groans and yearns to be redeemed from the corruption that's in it. We see how that there is an increase in natural disasters. There's increase in floods, there's increase in tornadoes and hurricanes, there's increases in wildfires, and all these things, and earthquakes in different places, just as the Bible talked about. And we see that we understand, like Preacher Billy said, we feel strongly in our hearts that surely the end of days is upon us.
Yeah.
We feel strongly in our hearts that it can't be much longer until the Lord would sound that trumpet, and that the dead in Christ will rise. Those that are alive in Him will be caught up in the air with them. And not much longer after that, the Lord will return, and He'll come back
back with 10,000s of his saints.
Yeah.
And they'll rule and reign with him. Amen. We're getting there in just a minute. But in any case, we understand that at the end of that, there's going to be a great judgment, a white throne of judgment. And after this, the Bible says that the earth and the heavens and all that God had created were destroyed. And he made a new heaven and a new earth. And I want to say that in this place, this new heaven, this new earth, this new heaven specifically, this place is a spiritual place. It is a place that you and I cannot even begin to understand or comprehend.
Yeah.
And I'm glad tonight that Jesus came into this world to save me from my sin, to save me from punishment and hellfire eternity, and to give me a place in heaven. A place that I can't even begin to understand. I would not even try. I've tried to think about it. I could not even dare to begin to tell you about the beauty and the splendor of heaven. No man could. John could, but he couldn't. He still couldn't give you accurate description, amen?
Yeah.
But in any case, more than that, though, what we forget is that in all that, the greatest thing Jesus done for us is he made us the children of God.
Amen.
To be a child of God. Now, we understand that and say, well, you know, he's up there, we're down here. We don't think about it like you do mom and dad.
Right.
You don't think about it like you do whenever you've got your mom and dad. And, you know, he said this. You know, I think about things like this when Jesus said, you know, except you come as one of these, talking about these little children. He said, you'll no wise come into the kingdom of God. And we've debated, and theologians have talked about all kinds of different aspects of what that meant, right? And we understand that, you know, it could have multiple meanings. We understand that you're not going to be transformed into a little child. We can speculate that it means talking about being born again. We could speculate that it talks about having a childlike faith and being simple enough to just say, I trust God. I don't have to have all the facts. I don't have to have all the numbers. I don't have to have it all written out for me. I can trust God. And I know that he is who he says he is. I have enough of the information to know that I can trust him. He's proved himself enough to me that I can trust him, amen. Just like a little child trusts their mom and dad because they give them enough evidence in the time that, by the time that the youngin can walk and talk, there's enough evidence in that youngin's life, mom and dad, who loves them.
Yeah.
And they can trust mom and dad, right?
Yeah.
In the same sense, whenever you're born again, by the time you can walk and talk, there's enough evidence in your life that God loves you. We speculate about what that means. One thing I believe that it means, he says, except you should come as one of these, talking about a child of God, you shall no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because there's many people that have called Jesus Lord, right? There's lots of folks that were of us. He says they were with us, but they were not of us, right? He talks about those apostates that go out. He says they'll go out. He says they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Right? And so we understand that there's wolves in among the sheep. We understand that there's goats amidst the wolves. We understand that there's tares among the wheat. Right?
Yeah.
We understand that tares among the wheat is not talking about those out there. It's talking about some within the church.
Right.
Those out there, it's obvious people out there lost. It's obvious people out in the world lost. It's talking about people within the church. I'm not talking about this church specifically. I'm talking about the church as a whole. A good majority of quote-unquote church, they would be considered terrorists as the majority of the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Because they believe in a works-based salvation.
Yeah.
And like we was talking about, there's some that are still practicing, they're trying to mix the Judaism in with the Christianity, such as the Greek Orthodox Church and some of those. And you've got all kinds of different things where they try to add this and they try to add that. And you know what that does? It tickles the flesh. It justifies this flesh to say that, you know, I'm a little bit more religious than the rest of them because I've got this box checked and I'm doing this. The only thing that makes a man or woman righteous in the eyes of God is to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ and to be his own child. And so whenever we read this here, we just talked about Sunday, talking about walking in the Spirit of God, amen? And we preached on walking in the Spirit of God. And here in verse 14, he says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, amen? The Bible said we preached on that Sunday, talking about if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not commit the acts of the flesh. And the only way to, we talk about the works of the flesh are manifest and they're obvious. It's not something you have to guess at. It's not got nothing to do with personal conviction. The works of the flesh are things that are obvious, right? And the works of the Spirit are things that are obvious. And we went over that. We talked about that. And here it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says, are the sons of God. That means the children of God. Amen. I'm glad tonight that I've been saved by God's grace and His Holy Ghost has been put in my heart and life to lead me, and that I am His child. I belong to Him. The Bible says in verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He says, we've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Whenever I was lost, I remember whenever I got under conviction, I was afraid that one day I'd die and go to hell. You know what? Even before God really convicted me strongly to the point where I realized I needed something more from God, I always had this overwhelming, this fear over my head about what it'd be like to die and face God. I knew there was a God. I was raised around church, and I understood that there's a God, and I knew that He was there, but I had this overwhelming. Did any of y'all ever have that? Just a fear of knowing that one day when you die, you face God, so, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. I'm talking about when you're lost. Did you ever feel that way when you're lost? That's the way I felt when I was lost. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, it says, for if we continue in sin, after we have received the knowledge of the truth, that is the gospel, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful, looking for a fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. And it goes on to say, of how much sore punishment suppose ye, should he be thought worthy of, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, yes, and counted the blood of the covenant an unholy thing. Yes. It says this, it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Right. Yes, sir.
And so whenever I was lost, I had a fear that's over my head. Lost person out there, they don't want to admit that. The pride of the flesh doesn't like to admit that. No, but I promise you, there's a fear about dying. There's a fear about leaving this world and going on to face God in judgment. There's a fear about leaving here and understanding that this life is over. There's no redos. There's no retakes. You can't start back from the beginning. You can't have a second chance. It's done. It's over with. And whatever you leave here with and take on with you is all you'll ever have. That's the only chance. There's a fear about that. The Bible says this to those that are saved. Whenever I leave this world, the blood will be presented. Amen. My sins have been washed away. I have nothing to fear. I have nothing to worry about. And so whenever the Bible tells me that we've not been given a spirit of bondage unto fear, see, the reason that we fear is because the Bible says that he that committeth sin is the slave of sin, or the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. But we understand this, that whenever we were sinners, we were bondsmen to sin. Meaning that we were slaves. That's what that word means. Bondage. It means to be in slavery. It means to be brought under the power of something. And that's the way it was with sin. You look at an alcoholic, they're under the power of alcoholism. You look at a drug addict, they're under the power of that drug. You look at an adulterer, they're under the power of their adulterous lifestyle. You look at a fornicator, they're under the power of fornication. You look at anything like that, and there's power of that. Those things are obvious. But in any case, sin in general, because the Bible tells us, so we understand that whenever we are lost, it powers over our lives. It rules over our lives. And the father of lies, the originator of sin, Satan himself, the Bible says that is your father whenever you're lost.
Yeah.
That is your spiritual father. Right? And so I'm glad tonight that he's not my spiritual father anymore. I have a spiritual father that is the creator of all heaven and earth. God Almighty, who sits on the throne, who is not surprised by anything that goes on down here, who is not surprised at the fact that I cannot always live up to his expectations. expectations, who is not surprised at the fact that he has to constantly work on me and tweak on me to get me arranged in a better way. He is never disappointed. You know why? Because from the foundation of the world, he loved me. From the foundation of the world, the precious Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was intended to die and bleed on that cross, that I could be born again and that I could have a new father that was no longer Satan, that was no longer the father of lies, but it was one that would not give me a spirit of bondage to fear, but it would be a spirit of power to glory in what God's done.
Amen.
He says he's given us the spirit of adoption. Now, we understand this much, and I think that this is something, thank God, that I never forget, that he is my spiritual father, that Satan is no longer my spiritual father, that God is my spiritual father. Satan is gone. He has got behind me, so to speak. He's still the enemy. When I say Satan, I don't mean Lucifer himself. I don't believe he's ever bothered me personally. He is not omnipresent.
Right.
He can't be everywhere at once. Now, I'll be honest, I just think he's got bigger fish to fry than me or you.
Yeah.
I doubt if there's anybody here tonight that has ever had a one-on-one encounter with Lucifer himself. But whenever I'm talking about Satan, I mean the way that the Bible talks about it, the enemy in general, the forces of hell, the forces of darkness. Satan, when we say Satan, that's being one person and all of his minions. And so, see, he's not even, when he was your father, he wasn't even personal enough to talk to you one-on-one. But we still followed him according to what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Whenever God saves me, you know, he tells me, well, you don't have to have somebody else come tell me something.
Right.
He talks to me one-on-one. And I talk to him one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Amen. Ain't that a blessing?
Yeah.
Ain't that a wonderful thing that we've got a spiritual father that hears us? But now, the Bible says here that we've not been given that spirit of fear, that spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption. The Bible talks about that we're not the natural branches, but we've been grafted in. Like whenever you, I don't know about how to do this. I wish I knew how to do this. You know how to graft limbs in the trees. You know anything about that? Y'all know about the disease? Y'all know you, Terry? You know anything about that? I don't know nothing about that. I think it's interesting, though. I find it fascinating. Y'all know what that is? Where they take like a, you know, a certain, you know, I know you can do different breeds of trees and put them together, but it has to be certain ones. You know, I just don't know all about it. I don't know anything about it. I've seen people do it. I watch videos on it. Man, that's an art for people that can do that and know what they're doing. My great-grandmother, Tiny, she could do stuff like that. They always used to say she had a green thumb. You ever know anybody like that? They said that about she could make anything grow. And she just figured out, you know what, she didn't have to do it. She just worked it out. She just figured it out. So she was really good. But in any case, the Bible talks about we've been grafted in. We might not be the natural branches, but the Bible says the natural branches are broke off.
Yeah.
Make room for us that we might be grafted.
Yeah.
Do you know that common adoption laws in most states in the United States are derived from ideas that come from the Bible? And so it goes like this. In North Carolina and in most states, if you adopt a child, then that child has a right to an equal inheritance amongst all the rest of your children. And you cannot disannul that. There's no way you can do that. If you adopt a child, then that child has a right to an equal share of whatever you have whenever you leave this world.
Yes, yeah.
Their inheritance. See, if you've got a child, you don't have to give them nothing if you don't want to. My 3 year listening, you hear that? I don't think we'll have much to give, but hey, amen. But you don't have to give your own child anything. It's not owed to them. But if you adopt them,
yeah.
See, the idea behind that is is that you have chose to take this child into your family and to give it a home. And it's not one that is adoption is not an easy thing. Now, it's something that, you know, if somebody's going to do it, they ought to pray about it. And if you're a Christian, make sure that that's what the Lord have you do. It's not an easy thing to do, to adopt a child, besides all the paperwork and the expense and everything else. There's a lot of other things that goes on there. And just bless those that are willing to adopt you. Amen. It's a sad thing that we have so many out there that are without families, even right now today. And it's a sad thing how difficult it has become for good Christian people to adopt a child. I mean, it seems to me if a man met with another man and they're like, we're homosexuals, they would be trying to pay you to take the child. Yeah. Because, you know, that either makes them look good or what. But yeah. Anymore, you know, you see a lot of that. Because obviously they can't procreate. So what options do they have if they want any children? The same for with a woman as with a woman. But in any case, the idea is this, that you take a child in that's yours, that's not yours, and you make it your own. And they say, well, you know, we're not just going to let you decide that you don't want that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you've made it your own. We get that. We understand that. But they get this idea from the scripture, or this is what I've read, this is what I've heard before, that they get this idea from the scripture and how there's this spirit of adoption, where that when God brings someone into the fold, whereas those that were born Jews, right? That once they were circumcised, they were Jews.
Yeah.
They made the sacrifices and, you know, and then they were considered the children of God. That's what the Bible says. That they were the seed of Abraham, they were considered the children of God. They were the natural branches,
right.
What the Bible says. But they were put off, the Bible says, that those that were adopted could be brought in.
Yeah.
Amen. And then all of a sudden now we see that how that the Jews, the natural branches, because they rejected Christ, because they did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son, were put off. But those who were not children, who were not born in that family, Gentiles, you and I understand God owed us nothing.
Right.
I don't think anybody is a Jewish descent, are you? We might have somewhere, you know, in the wood pile somewhere, I don't know, but, you know, not to my knowledge,
right.
Or anybody in here. But nevertheless, I know I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I am that spiritual seed of Abraham. Why? Because I have been grafted in.
Yeah.
I have been adopted. And guess what? He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hey. And so I know this, that when according to the Bible, the way that God does things, the adoption is stronger than those that are natural. The relationship of the Father to the ones that He is adopted in is more solid and more concrete than those that are natural born. According to the Bible, right?
Yeah.
And so that's where they get that idea from. And now whenever he says that we've been given the spirit of adoption, it's not as if we're a second-class child. Understand? But it's as if that he's saying that I wanted you for myself. Whereas these other ones, you know, you can't pick these, right? That's just the ones that God gives you. Amen. Thank God for them. We love every one of them. But whenever you adopt, you pick one. And he says, I have chose you. That's what the Bible says. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm glad that he calls us personally and he has a personal relationship with us. And when it says he's given us the spirit of adoption, he's not just said, well, if you ain't got nowhere else to go, I'll take you. What he said is, I want you. Amen.
Amen.
He says, wherefore we cry, Abba, the Father. Now, that word Father there, much like we see in other places, just as whenever in John chapter 8 he said, you are your father, the devil. Like I said, we understand that he is our spiritual father. We're saved, amen?
Yeah.
But here it says Abba, Father. Abba is another word for father in the Hebrew, whereas when he says father there, it means like you're talking about your dad. If you was talking about, you know, just having a father, explain to people, yes, I have a father. Do you have a father? Yes, I have a father. Everybody has a father. You know, some people might not know the Father, so on and so forth, but everybody has a Father, right? And so you say, yes, I have a Father. Prince Matthew is the father of Ebenezer, Jubilee, Silas, and Hammond, okay? Brother Glenn over here is the father of Brother Keith back there. And so whenever I'm talking about that and using that system, that's what I would say. That's how I'd use that word. My dad's not here, but if I was talking about him, I would say, my dad. My daddy. I said, my wife used to make fun of me call my dad daddy. She said, sounds like a baby. I said, everybody around here calls my dad daddy. Does anybody else here call my dad daddy? And they're a grown person, see, they still do. My dad still calls him, he called his dad daddy. You know what I mean? He's 8 years old. She's like, it sounds like a baby. I'm like, this is what I say. But, you know, that's what that means. Is daddy, father. It says, wherefore? Because we have that spirit of us, because he wanted you and I. Whenever it says that we are the children of God, that does not just mean simply that we have a new spiritual father. But it means that we have a personal creator who loved us, who said that just as this is my beloved son, when that spirit come down in the form of a dove and descended in the land, you know, Jesus Christ, and said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I want to say this, when I was brought into the family of God, that same thing very well happened in heaven down on me. Why? Because the Bible says that he was the firstborn among many brethren. I want to say this, that God the Father does not love Jesus any more than he does you and I. Why? Because that's what was purchased for me on the cross of Calvary, is the love from a father that is more than just being a spiritual father, but it's more than my own daddy here on earth that loved me. He says, wherefore we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, my Father. Whenever we pray to God, he says, what son asked of his father a fish and he'd give him a serpent? Right. He said, what son would ask anything and that father wouldn't do all he could? Why do you think that we're constantly reminded in the Word of God? It's because he wants something to sink in. He wants this thought to sink in our minds, that to be born again, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And not only is he just a spiritual father, but he's a loving caregiver. He's the kind of father that wants to take care of you. Hey, I want to tell you, my little youngins, if they get scared, you know what they're going to do? They're going to run to Daddy. They're going to cling around my leg. They know Daddy's going to protect them. They know Daddy's going to take care of them. If they need to know something, they're going to come ask Daddy, because Daddy seems to us have answers. I'm going to miss that one day whenever that they've grown up. I'm going to miss that one day whenever they come to me like that no more. But I want to say this to you all here tonight. I've got a Father in heaven that I can go to when I'm scared. I've got a Father. He's my daddy. I've got one that I can call out and I can say, Daddy, I don't know what to do. And he'll say, just come on, son. I'll take care of it. Hey, man, I've got a daddy that's dependable. I got a daddy that loves me unlike anything that ever did down here on this earth. I've got a daddy that's not only my spiritual father, but he's one that's in heaven. It's looking out for me. It's looking out for my best interest. And everything that he does for me.
Amen.
Wherefore we cry, Abba, Father, the Bible says. He says this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Ghost of God lives inside of you and I and reminds us that we belong to God, that we don't belong to this world anymore. You know why this world seems so pitiful anymore? Because it ain't our home, amen.
Yeah, right.
You know why we feel so low down and miserable? Because we don't live perfect. I don't live perfect. Anybody else, I try, I want to, but I fail God all the time. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Amen. You know why it makes you feel so miserable and slow down? I mean, just do the littlest thing. Just think of the littlest way off. You know why? Because the Spirit bears witness that I'm living below my privilege, that I'm a child of God, that I belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that I've got a place reserved for me in heaven, that my Father purchased for me, that He made for me, that He made a way that I could be saved and become His own child. And so I realize, and in my spirit, it bears witness with my own spirit that I know and understand that I'm living below the privilege that He has secured for me. And that's why we feel so miserable.
it's natural to not feel comfortable down here in this earth. Bible says in verse 17, I'm about done. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I'm going to say this. The Bible says we're co-heirs with him. I'm talking about the same one the Bible said that make his enemies his footstool. I'm talking about the same one when he said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. I'm talking about the same one the Bible said that all judgments are reserved for him. I'm talking about the same one that said that everything that he has, God's going to give it to him. He said that we'd be co-heirs with him. Amen. Meaning that everything that the natural born gets, we're going to have a share in it. Amen. I'm glad to know tonight that God is willing to bless me that way. I ain't never deserved that. I've never earned that. I've never done one thing in my life that I should expect anything like that from God. But yet he's good enough that he said in his own word, which by the way does not fail, and he does not fall short on his promises, but he keeps his word, amen. He has said that he would make me a joint heir with his own Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And everything that's coming to him is coming to me and you. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says that we'll be glorified together. I've heard preachers say this, and I don't understand. I need to ask them about it because I don't want to just assume that they're wrong. But I've heard preachers say this, and they say, and in the last several years, I've heard quite a few preachers say this. And, you know, it's preachers I like, and I don't understand it. But they seem to say that God does not share his glory. Have you ever heard preachers say that? I've heard preachers say that. They say, you know, God shares everything he, there's one thing he won't share is his glory. Have you ever heard preachers say that, honey? I have. I've noticed that. And every time I hear that, I always makes me just want to, I want to ask them, but I don't want to think I'm undermining them, you know? Because here, when I read it, I believe that's talking about that God's going to share his glory with you tonight. Amen? I mean, I could be wrong. I'm not the final authority on interpreting everything to do with the Bible, but if you just read it the way it says, amen, that we'd be glorified together. Let me just read it one more time in this context. It says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs. That doesn't say subjoint heirs. That says joint heirs. That, you know what that means? That means that he's right here. Right? God's up here. He's right here. His inheritance, right here. Here's us.
Yeah.
We ain't here. We, you know. It's not a pyramid effect, amen. We're joint heirs. That's what it says. It says that we're joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, somebody that would say that God does not share his glory might say, well, they're talking about you being glorified together with all your brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, I can accept that, except for the fact that it says here that if we're children, we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. I don't see why it's going to be talking about God, why about Christ, so, and how that it affects our inheritance so much. Let's split off from that and say that we're just talking about you and your other brothers and sisters. Right? I believe with all my heart, I do, that God will, I'm talking about the God of creation. I'm talking about the God who made it all happen. I'm talking about not only the God who made it all happen, who spoke this world into existence, I'm talking about the God that redeemed mine and your starry heavens.
Amen.
I'm talking about the God that sent his own Son, who had never sinned, into this sinful world, to suffer a
had to bleed and die for my sake and for your sake. Now one day up there, I believe that there's going to be glory given at the throne. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about the God. The Bible says that there's fantastic, spectacular beings that have been created for none other purpose than to stand by the throne of God, and day and night without cease, they glorify God.
Yeah.
Amen? And they proclaim His glory. Yeah. Right? And things that you and I ain't even seen the like of. Right? I'm talking about that same God is going to share His glory with you and I. Amen. Not that I deserved it.
Right.
Not that you deserved it. But because He is that good.
Amen.
Kind of like this. If I was just a big boss man, right? And if I was just, you know, the leader of some corporation like we tend to think God is when we say He's our spiritual father. And I kept that thing running. And as long as everybody fell in line and done what they were supposed to do, you know, things went good. But I was the brains of my operation. Well, what do I care to, you know, tell any of the rest of them bunch of sorry yahoos that, you know, that they had anything to do with that? I know I worked hard for that and I've done all that. But you know what? Now, if it's my children, on the other hand, I want them to be just as honored as I was.
Yeah.
I want to train them in such a way that they was. You know, I think that it's every parent's dream that their kids go on and be more successful than they was. Some people, it's just that they just want to have more money and more things. What a shame.
Yeah.
So many people in the church, that's their dream for their children.
Yeah, amen.
My dream for my children is that they'll have better ministries, bigger ministries.
Yeah.
That God will use them in greater ways. They'll be more obedient. That they'll stick with God. That they'll get saved at a young age. They'd never have to live with some of the shame I have to live with. That they'd never have to, that they'd be able to be bold. That's my dream. That's what I desire for my children.
Yes, right? Amen. Yes.
You know why? Because I don't want people just to always say, I remember your battles.
Right.
I want them to know them for them, who they are, and the God that they serve. Amen? In the same way, we got a Father. It's not just a spiritual Father, but He is a Father that words cannot even begin to describe, and has love for you and I, that He loves us so much. Understand this, that this has not got nothing to do with that He just wants us to, you know, His love is conditional, is in the sense that if we do things this way, He'll love us, and if we don't do it His way, He won't love us. Matter of fact, He might chastise us because He loves us.
Yeah.
But it's because He loves us, everything that He does is because He loves us. He loves us so much, the Bible says, that He sent His Son in the world. That's what the Bible says. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. That He loved you and I. Not just as numbers on a chart. That's how you are to the place you work for. Unless it's just a little small business. If you work for any kind of person, literally, that's how they know me at the post office. I have a EIN. That's what it's called. But not forget what it says, or some kind of identification of it. Employee identification of it. But that's what they know me by. Anything I want to do, if I need to change anything about my health insurance, if I need to go in there and look at my pay stub, anywhere, they have to do my EIN. We don't care about your name. We don't care about nothing other than this 8-digit number. That's all they care about. Matter of fact, your government feels the same way about you too.
Yep.
That's what that Social Security number is for.
Yep. Amen.
They don't care about your name or anything else. But I've got a God. It's not only a God. Right? He's not only the one that's in control. He's not only the one that's up there running the show and sitting on the throne. He's not just a king. He's not just a lord. He's not just a ruler. He's a father.
Yeah.
I'm His child.
Yes, sir.
God that loved me, loved you,
hey,
enough to send His Son to die for
you.
That one day, this is why. Paul said, I reckon the sufferings of this present world, this present time, are not worthy to be compared to the glory that we revealed in us.
Yeah, amen.
It's because he understood this fact that we are the children of God.
Amen.
The children. Not just the servants of God. Not just the laborers of God. Not just the disciples of God. We're the children of God.
Amen.
He loves us. Amen. One day, he's going to glorify us. We're going to go through things that don't mean. This life ain't easy. It's going to be tough. We're going to face trials in this flesh against our own self. We're going to face trials within our families. We're going to face trials against the rest of the world. But I want to say this, it's worth it. Amen. I love that song that Tony and Sherry and some of them sings. You know, where it says, was it worth the wait? What's the name of that song, Tony?
Welcome Home.
Welcome Home. You know, whatever he said, was it worth the wait?
Yeah.
It's going to be worth it one day.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
We'll share in that glory.
Amen.
Amen. He's not just going to say, all y'all come in and take a seat. I mean, I'm telling you. The same way that you feel whenever you see one of your children. You haven't seen them in a week, they go on vacation or whatever, you haven't seen them. They come in and you just want to hug them. You got one of those down toward the coast. I bet every time he comes around, it just tickles you to death, don't it? It does. I mean, you got one that's here, I mean, you love him just as much, but when you got one that's gone all the time, you miss him, right? And you ain't able to see him and hold him. And too, because he's gone all the time, he ain't picking on you all the time, right? So, you know, I'm sure when he comes around, he probably picks on you too. And you might probably miss that, getting picked on them a little bit. But one day when we get up there with him, it's going to be personal for each and every one of us.
Amen.
Just like he is to us right now. Don't live under your privilege. Be reminded of where you stand. And that's in his love and affection. Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. I don't know what the Lord's done for you tonight, but maybe he's just showed you just enough that you just want to come and thank him. You just want to come publicly, no matter who else is watching, and just say, Lord, I just want to thank you for loving me. I don't know what you've been going through. He knows. He's seen you through it. He's took care of you. He's been the best thing that's ever happened to me or you. Anyone ever born and knows his name, been born again by his grace, had their sins washed away by his blood. When's the last time you just cried out and thanked him for being such a wonderful, loving father? Every year Father's Day rolls around, we begin to think about our daddies, how much we love them, how much we run for us, how much we appreciate them. How much should we appreciate God and the Father that He is to you and I? As I pray, the Lord spoke to your heart tonight, why don't you come? Father, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you just continue, Lord, to bless our hearts and our minds, Lord, with it, even after tonight. Let us not be soon forgetful, Lord, of the fact where we stand with you, Lord, being your children, brought in by adoption, Lord, that you chose us, God, that you loved us, Lord, that you have hand-selected each and every one, Father, not because of who we are or anything that we've done, but just because you loved us and you're good. We thank you for the love that you bestow upon us. Thank you for having mercy on us. We don't deserve it. I pray, God, that you be with each and every one that's here tonight, God. You need to help them, encourage them. I thank you for them, Lord, and the encouragement they are to me. I pray, God, that you be with us, Lord, as we leave and go home and bring us back here at the next point in time. I pray, God, that you work in our hearts and lives, God, and help us to desire revival, Lord, God. I pray that you be with the men that's prepared to preach the meeting coming up. Lord, that you'd have our hearts and minds prepared. It's in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Look, it's time to drive.
Yeah.
All right. With all hearts and minds clear, you're liberty to go.